All right, go back with me to Luke chapter 2. I hope and pray for this message like I do every message, that it will be for God's glory and honor. I know that it will be, because the Word of God will not return void. And I'm just going to declare what, by the grace of God, what He has written and declared. And I hope it will be for someone's salvation. I hope it will be for the comfort and edification of God's people. I hope you will pray with me to that end. This story begins with a sovereign decree by a wicked man. This story begins with a decree by a man named Caesar Augustus, a sovereign decree. Look at verse 1. It came to pass, in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius, another wicked, corrupt Roman ruler, was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed. This fell upon everybody in his own city, the whole world. Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to where he was born and raised, Bethlehem. And his wife was with him, verse 5, Mary, and she was great with child, nearly nine months pregnant at this time. Now this was a decree of a king, an emperor of Rome. It is an unjust, corrupt decree. Mostly for evil reason, corrupt reason, wicked purposes, to fill the coffers, to fill the treasuries of Rome with money, to extort money out of the people for their own evil purposes, right? Their own greedy purposes. It's a wicked, corrupt decree. This decree was made by this man. Or was it? No. This decree was decreed by God before the world began. Now if you listen, this will give you some great comfort. And this is glorifying to God. Scripture says, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Scripture says, it is God that worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Which counsel, which purpose, which decrees He made before there ever was a world. And the Scripture says, all things work together for good to them who are the called according to His purpose. The purpose of God, the decree of God, the counsel of God, the reason He made this world, this universe, was for the kingdom of His dear Son, for His glory, for His Son, and to populate it with a people, for His glory, for His Son, His bride. All right? All things, be it good or what we may think is evil, work together according to this purpose, this decree of God. Psalm 2 says, I'll declare the decree. This is the decree. Listen to Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart. Well, if this doesn't give you some peace in this day of corrupt government, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. Hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water turneth it with us river will. The king can only do what God allows him to do. Satan can only do what God allows him to do. What do you think about that? That's good news. That's where the gospel started, with this decree of God. I've decreed a kingdom. I've decreed a people. I've decreed all things. I've predestinated all things for the praise of the glory of my grace. For my son, I'm going to have a people. I've chosen them all. I've numbered them. I've given them to Christ. He's going to come down. He's going to finish the work of redemption. He'll come back and they're all going to be brought home to me. All for my glory, the praise of the glory of my grace. I've decreed it. Thus shall it be written and thus shall it be done. That's a decree. And every single thing that happens on planet Earth, God says, I'm the first cause of it. And though we don't understand it, He did it. It's the Lord. And if you wait, if you just wait, you'll see. It was the Lord, wasn't it? This decree, as with everything, was purposed by God. Now, it was a cruel... Here's 4 points. We got a decree. We got a journey. We got a birth. And we got a wonder. It ends in glory and wonder. This decree started, and it ends in wonder and praise and glory. We got a decree, an evil decree. We have a journey. These two poor, lowly people forced to set out on a long journey. Maybe you don't know this, but it's 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. 90 miles, not on paved roads, not on flat paths, over mountains and hills and through streams and valleys and mountains. It was 90 miles. Mary is 9 months pregnant. You ladies, would you like to walk 2 miles when you were expecting? 3 miles, 10 miles, 40 miles, 90 miles. Pregnant. Why? Why would God subject them to such a thing? That's why all the children of Israel, they're walking. You know, He didn't let them go. He didn't have them go the straight, the shortest route. He took them the longest way. If they had walked that path, that road of the Philistines, you watch it. There was a wide road made by the Philistines all up the coast. They could have got from Egypt to the Promised Land in no time at all. No, God took them the long way. Down through the wilderness of sin. Had to cross a sea that they couldn't cross, didn't think. It went through all this trouble for 40 years. Why? To show them something. To teach them something. These two poor people were pilgrims. They were on a pilgrimage. They were on a journey, weren't they? Poor carpenter. He was forced to leave his job. There was no welfare. He wasn't going to get a check, you know, vacation pay. He needed this job. He's got to leave his job for a month. Well, how's he going to pay for his house back there? Are you listening to me? He's forced to leave his work for weeks. His young wife is heavy with child due any day. All because of this unjust, this corrupt decree, they were forced to leave their home, journey 90 miles on foot, 10 days, 12 days, maybe 2 weeks it took them to get there. Hard, long, arduous journey. Painful. Bad weather. Where'd they get the food? Where were they going to stay? Huh? Do you not see that it is God that cares for His people? It is God that leads His dear children along. That we've sang that song, some through the water and some through the flood. No, all through the water. All through the flood. All through the fire. And all by the blood. All of them. We're all going through this wilderness. We're all going to have hardship, pain, suffering, stormy weather. Where are we going to get the food?
Where are we going to stay?
You ever thought about our Lord? He didn't have a place to stay. Why?
God was his dwelling place. Adam and Eve didn't have a roof over their head in the beginning. Didn't need one. A dwelling place is for shelter from the storm. A dwelling place is so the sun won't smite you, so the rain won't beat you, so your enemy won't come and get you. If you're dwelling in God, you don't need a place. You got Him. Right? Food and raiment. Well, where are you going to get that?
Where did Adam and Eve get it? Where did the children of Israel get it? Where is this poor man and his wife going to get it?
Imagine their minds, what was going through their mind. Imagine their fears, perils. This man, he's got a wife, 9 months pregnant.
See, this is taking a little different vein than in a Christmas message. But imagine his fears for this woman.
People, they're going through some rough territory. The perils of robbers, perils of murderers, perils of terror, perils of poor people everywhere trying to find somebody to rob, steal, and kill. Who's going to protect them?
Was he worried about his wife?
Was he, Wesley? Was he worried about this little woman that he couldn't take care of somebody? Well, who did protect him? Who's protecting yours? You're not. Smith and Wesson ain't.
Jesus Christ is. He's Lord. Not a figurehead. He really is.
Come on, people. Let's believe Him, shall we? Not trust in the arm of the flesh. All right. They worried. She could give birth any time. There's no doctors around. No doctor delivered this child when she got there. Imagine their fear. Imagine how downcast they were. Imagine how depressed they were. Imagine how distressed they were. Imagine how angry they were at Caesar. Imagine how bitter they were. Why do we have to go through this? That's what Joseph said. Why? Just wait, Joseph. Wait. You'll see.
And you wouldn't change a thing. Just hang on. It's the Lord. Brethren, sisters, whatever it is the Lord. Okay? Get that in your mind. Get that in your heart. Don't murmur. Don't complain. Don't be depressed. Don't be too downcast. I know it's just about impossible, but believe. If you believe, you'll be established, you'll be settled, you'll be strengthened. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord, okay? Whatever it is, it's the Lord. Okay? Be of good cheer. Our Lord said, in the world you shall have tribulation. You want to go through a violent place of fears and worries and doubts, but be of good cheer. I run this place. This is my Father's world. And let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The decree, the journey began. When did this decree and journey begin for a man and his wife?
In the garden.
Now, stay with me here. You're going to like it. You're going to like it. This decree began back in the Garden of Eden. Satan had deceived and corrupted a man and his wife. Man and a woman are standing before a poor, sinful, shame, full of shame and guilt and fear and worries and doubts. They don't know what God's going to do to them. They don't know if they're going to live or die. Full of fear, trembling, doubts and fears are standing before God, not knowing what lies next. But God.
came walking. The Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came walking in the garden. He came to speak to them. He came to pronounce something to them. He came to tell them a story about a woman's seed. It's going to be a woman like you, Mary. I mean, like you, Eve. But it never knew a man. A virgin. The woman's seed. In the future, He's coming. The Messiah, by a woman, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem you, to deliver you. A woman's going to deliver a son, it's going to be the deliverer, to redeem you. This story, this decree started in the garden. Good news, Eve, Adam, good news. A woman's seed shall come and bruise this serpent's head and remove the curse and restore everything that you've lost. Well, 4,000 years later, you see, God decreed it. God said it. God wrote it down. 4,000 years later, Deborah, here she comes. Here they are. Here's this woman. A young maiden. Walking through a wilderness, heavy with child. Will she make it? Is she going to be all right? You just don't understand it. Nothing can happen to her. Nothing. God's decreed. Why? Christ is in her. And brethren, if you're in Christ, and Christ is in you, you're going to make it all the way to glory. You're going to see. You're going to see. Be of good cheer. Now here's a birth. Verse 6. So it was that while they were there, they came to Bethlehem, some 2 weeks' journey. They came to Bethlehem, house of bread. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. The day is accomplished. The day is accomplished. What day? Her 9 months were all fulfilled. Yeah, that's talking about more than that. In the fullness of time, the days were accomplished. God sent forth His Son, made of woman, made under the law. The fullness of time, sovereignly, predestined, predetermined these days down to the exact hour and moment, exactly, wisely by the Lord, this day had come. This was the day of the Lord. This is the day of the Lord. This was Mary's day to deliver. And may I say this? Yes, because it's all a picture of salvation. God's people all have a day. When He delivers them. When Christ is formed in them. Now take heart. I want you to take heart, okay? Because no man knows the day, the hour. Just like your death, the new birth, you don't know. There comes a day. If it's the Lord's decree, if it's the Lord's will, it's going to happen. Not because you did it, because He did. You see, Mary really didn't have anything to do with any of this, did she? Huh? She didn't have anything to do with this child in her. She doesn't know when the child's going to be delivered. She doesn't know. And you know, really, she didn't deliver the child. Scripture says God delivered him up. Then him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You have taken with wicked hands and crucified the Lord of glory. But God's the one that delivered him. There were no physicians around when she had this baby. Oh, or was there? Yes. Yes, I was there when my child was born. The father was there. And I took that child straight from the womb. They laid that child in my hand. The father was there when the only begotten was born. And so was the heavenly father. Yeah, he was there. Oh, this birth, and nothing is entrusted to man. He said, this is his son. And brothers and sisters, so are you. You hear me? Well, let's see some smiles here. So are you. Nothing's left up to chance or fate or you or man. Oh, no. in the hand of our great God, just like his son was. And they tried to kill him, didn't they? A little bit later, they tried to kill him. Why couldn't the most powerful man on earth, with all the army of that kingdom at his disposal, couldn't find one Jewish baby? They couldn't find him. Satan was after one man, Job. Couldn't touch him. The Syrians sent the host, the captain, and a host after one man, Elijah. Sent the whole armies after Elijah. Couldn't take him. They kept dropping like flies. Couldn't take one man. Because this has been decreed. He said, everything happened. You're a fatalist. No, I'm a believer. That's your opinion. No, it's truth. You'll see. You'll see. You know, Scripture speaks about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. 3 days. The day which He came to earth. That's the day of the Lord. That's this day. The day that He comes for you and me in salvation. That's the day of the Lord. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to His temple. That's you. He'll suddenly come. There's a day that's been decreed by God when He sends the Word like the seed in power by the Holy Spirit, the preaching of the gospel, into your dark heart, and like Mary, you're going to be delivered. There's going to be a child found in you. And you're going to ponder, and you're going to wonder, and you're going to be amazed. You're going to see glory. And we're just waiting on it. There's some in here, that day hadn't come. I hope, I pray. Just like in childbirth, there's pain, there's suffering, there's sorrow, there's tears, there's worries, there's doubts, there's fear. You know what I hope and pray for those who have not heard from the Lord yet? Break their hearts. Lord, break their hearts. Bring Mr. Wet Eyes. Bring Mr. Broken Heart and Contrite Heart. Oh Lord, show them, though they think they're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Show them they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Lord, break their proud, hard heart. Right now, Lord. That's what I pray. Right now, as I speak, looking at some people in here whose hearts have not yet been broken. Lord, please. I can't do it. He can. He does. He will. Every single child of God that He delivers, that Christ is formed in them. This is the first thing. They feel this mourning over sin. They feel this pain and this sorrow over sin. The Lord breaks their heart. Salvation is not accepting Jesus. It's bowing on your face before a sovereign Lord, hoping He'll accept you. Say Calvinism, it's salvation. But I'm a good Christian. No, you're not. I ain't a good Christian. I'm a poor excuse for one. What's your hope then, preacher? Mercy. Blood. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's what I pray and hope for every sinner. Please, Lord. For your glory, for their salvation, would you please break their hard heart? If you don't, they won't perish. And bless God, He does it. It comes a day, He did it to me, He did it to some of you, then it comes a day. You ain't expecting it. Nobody is. Mary said, how can this be? I haven't known a man. And people, we see people, how can this be? You know, there's one fellow in here that before the Lord saved him, I thought he was one of the finest men I ever knew at the time. Upright, good father, good husband, good citizen, a nice man, a good worker, and just, you know, just upright and all of that and everything. A moral man, upright man, just a fine, fine man. I thought he's a better man than me right now. You know what God had to do to him? break his heart. He came crying to me like a baby. I'm the chief of sinners. That's right. It's got to happen. And it will. It will. That's why we don't beg and plead with sinners. We beg and plead with God to do something. God's not a beggar. Neither is his preacher. We just declare the truth and stand back and hope and pray that God will break that proud sinner and bring them to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ begging for mercy. If they do, you can count on it. God's begun a good work. Well, it was time for her to bring forth this child. Here's a birth. And as I said, the one that delivered this child was God himself. Him being delivered, all of this was the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And verse 7 says, she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Because there was no room for them in the inn, in an inn. No room in the inn. You ever think about this? And I've preached on this, and I've heard even Armenian preachers. No, is there any room for Jesus in your heart? That's be done with that stuff. No, sir. The fact of the matter is that people don't want Christ. They don't need Christ. No. They won't let him. You won't let him into your heart. No, you won't. It gives you a new heart. You ask him to let you in his heart. Let you in the door. But why was there no room in the inn? It means every room was filled. Right? That inn was full up. You ever thought about that? Well, what was going on? Something was happening. Big shindig somewhere. Big happening. Was there a big concert? Was it a big musical concert? Like at the Harvester? You can't get a room around here if some idiot Three Dog Night's playing. You won't get a room anywhere. You have to sleep with the dogs. You know what? Was there a rodeo the next day? Probably. And the whole world was going to see it. And not enough rooms to get the people to come see bulls. But nobody's interested in what's going on in that barn. But God comes to two, three lowly shepherds sitting on the hillside. And he says, I've got some wonderful news. He said, they wouldn't have come. They wouldn't have seen. They wouldn't have heard. They wouldn't have been interested. But God. You know who's interested in Jesus Christ? Those that God chose. Those that God called. Those that God gives them an interest. Those that God gives them a new heart. Three lowly shepherds. We think there are at least two, maybe three. How many wise men were there? We don't know. Two, maybe. Three. The scripture says at the mouth of two or three witnesses. We think it's three. Why? Those are the gifts, gold, frankincense. Well, there are three that bear record in heaven. Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Right? Three. So we think it's three. Three. At the mouth of two witnesses, better yet, three. Christ said, I am one that bear witness of myself. Didn't it? But there's another. The Father. Oh, but there's another. Spirit. So that's three. That's seven, it doesn't. Now, they're not come to validate what's happening. They just come see. Their testimony doesn't make it so. It's so, whether they believe it or not. Somebody said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Oh, no, you got that all wrong.
God said it, and that settles it.
Whether you believe it or not.
And here's wonder, here's grace, here's mercy, as He calls on you to believe it.
And you believe it.
Well, three shepherds come. Three shepherds. We have a sovereign decree. We had a long journey. Now, this is salvation. It's by decree. A long journey, a stranger and a pilgrim. That's every one of God's people. Traveling through this world, they going to make it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What are they coming to see? What are they coming to experience?
A birth.
A son. Glory. The glory of the Lord is going to shine around about them. The angel of God is going to hover over top of them. Spirit of God. And you know what's going to happen?
Born of God.
Now here's the fourth thing. A wonder and a glory and a prayer. Look at verse 8 and 9. These shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Fear. When the Spirit of God comes upon you and breaks your heart over sin, when the glory of the Lord shines round about you, the glory of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, oh, I'm hoping and praying that the God who caused the light to shine out of darkness will shine in my dark heart, your dark heart, everyone's dark heart, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And you know what that'll cause? Fear. Trembling. Belief. They believe. Wonder, amazement. They were sore afraid. The angel said, fear not. To all who fear, He says, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings. To all that fear, He says, good news. Great joy, which shall be to all people, every tribe, kindred, tongue, nation under earth, all people. A few. Many are called, but few chosen. But they're chosen out of everywhere. Bring my people from afar. Bring them from the north. Bring them from the south. Bring them from the east. Bring them from the west. Those that I've called by name. My sheep, they're going to hear my voice. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And said, fear not, unto you is born. Who's He talking to? Unto you is born. Who's He talking to?
Three lowly shepherds.
You! Are you low? You feel low? Worthless? Undeserving? Is that you? That's you. He's talking to you. Unto you is born in the city of David a Savior. You see? Can you save yourself? Do you feel like you can save yourself? You got any hope in yourself? Any hope of salvation in yourself? Huh? So what you're telling me is you need a Savior? Unto you. Yes, you. Is a Savior born, which is Christ the Lord. Messiah. Do you need a Messiah? Do you need a covenant head? Do you need someone, a substitute? Do you need a wisdom? Do you need a righteousness? Do you need sanctification? Do you need redemption? Huh? You have anything to pay? One red cent? Well, copper, I guess. One thin dime, one red cent to your spiritual name? Can you pay anything? No?
Good news. The Lord Jesus paid it out.
Is that you? Talking to you. Unto you is born this day and born in you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Here's a sign. What's the sign? How do we know this? Verse 12 and 13. Verse 12. It'll be a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. How do you know it's the Christ? How do you know the gospel you're hearing is the true gospel? Two ways. Swaddling clothes in a manger. What's that? You know what swaddling clothes are? It's clothing for poor people. It's clothing that they would wrap poor babies in. It's strips. They would take strips and wrap those babies up real tight, and you just bind them up. Like
like a wounded person or something. You take something and bind up the wounds. Or these strips. You nurses have used them. Like, God, that's what they do. Wrap them up tight. Wrap them up tight. Till they're just a little cocoon. They're all wrapped up. Do you see that Jesus Christ is your righteousness? Do you see? Do you find warmth? Do you find comfort? Do you find security? Do you find safety? Do you find peace? Do you not find peace in that Jesus Christ is your covering? Do you need a covering? Do you not feel naked? Exposed, helpless, like a child, little baby? Wrap that baby in. Brethren, it's significant that when Christ died on Calvary's tree, they stripped Him naked. They stripped Him naked. And that robe of righteousness that He worked out, God took that stripping, and clothed His people with that righteousness of Christ. Do you not see that? That's how you know the Christ, when you hear Him, when you see Him. That's how you're going to know Him. Swaddling clothes. Do these clothes swaddle you like a baby? Lying in a manger. What's a manger? That's where sheep eat. So, you're going to see Him as raiment and what? Food! That's where cattle eat. That's where lowly sheep eat. Who was attending this birth? Nothing but a bunch of sheep and shepherds. And lying in that manger was the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep are feeding on the shepherd. Well, are you hungry? What do you need? What seek you? Master, where dwellest thou? In the manger. That's where you'll find me. In the sheepfold, where the sheep are eating, feeding on me. That's how you know Him. That's how you know Him. You know Him, what He is to His people. You know Him where He is with His people. What a wonder. What a glory. What a sight. God's glory, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace. What peace? All around in the world right then was war, were wars and rumors of war, right? The Roman government was plotting their next war against somebody. Pillaging. Taking over some poor little country, weren't they? All the time. Getting it all in. Spreading themselves like a green bay tree. Alexander the Great, long before that. All the Medes and the Persians, all these kingdoms, just raping and pillaging and warring and ruining, and there still was at this time. What do you mean peace? What is peace? How are we going to have peace? Right after this, all the children in Bethlehem were killed. What do you mean peace? I mean a person. I mean peace through a person. In this world you have tribulation. In this world nothing but war and rumors of war. In this world, but Christ said, in me you have peace. Peace that you need in the midst of a war. The peace was not in the world, all over the world, but it was in that manger. It's a person. This is the peace of God. You and I don't make peace with God. He did. Jesus Christ did. This is the peace of God. God sent this peace. God, who's angry with the wicked every day, for His people, sent Jesus Christ to be made sin for them, to be made our peace. The chastisement of our peace was laid on Him. This is peace. God's not angry with you because of this sign. Peace. I tell you. Peace. Goodwill. Goodwill. Toward man. Is that how it reads? Goodwill on earth. They misquoted it at Christmas time. Goodwill toward men. Now who's He talking to? Who's He talking to? The angel. Three shepherds. Joseph and Mary. They know it's... they're sitting there. In a little bit.
He's talking to them, and he's talking to his people, peace. And didn't our Lord say to his people, I know my thoughts toward you, thoughts of peace, to bring you to an expected end. Peace. Christ said, my peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth. And he said, nobody's going to take it away. Peace with God. Peace with God. Though Satan accuse you, though your conscience accuse you, though your old man accuse you, God, Christ says, look to me, I'm your peace. Though the law accuses you, Christ said, look to me, I kept it. Peace. Peace with God, peace of heart, peace of mind, peace of conscience. There is no peace of conscience except by the blood of Jesus Christ. God said, I'm satisfied. Blood's been shed. Peace. I'm not at war with you. I'm not angry with you. I took out my anger on my son. Peace. He is our peace. If you're looking for peace anywhere else, you won't find it. Never will. If you're looking for it in Christ, you have it. Peace. Goodwill. 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 God's will toward his people is all good. It's all good. I've already quoted it, haven't I? All good. Well, never quit. Came to pass, the angels were leaving. Verse 15, they were gone away into heaven. And I do remind you that he calls preachers angels, doesn't he? I hope somebody heard it. Hope somebody heard this. The message of goodwill and peace. Glory to God. It's like I told you it would be. Came to pass, the angels had gone away into heaven, the shepherds said one another, let's go. Bill? Yeah, John? Let's go. Matt? Stephen? Let's go. Where are you going? Let's go see this side. Let's go see this side. Let's go where he is. They told him you're going to be in a certain place. Go there. They said, let's go. When? We'll put it off to next week. No. Look at verse 16. They came with haste. We got to hurry. Why? We've heard his boy. We've heard the angel. We've seen our need. We've heard the message. We've got to see him. We've got to behold him. We've got to come worship him. We've got to see this one who God sent to be our peace. Hurry. Today's the day. And when they'd seen it, they came, they found, where'd they find? Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. Just like. And when they'd seen it, I'm out of time, but John said, that which we have seen and heard, that which our hands have handled, our eyes have looked upon, that holy thing. They didn't say they saw that sweet little baby. They said, it. Wondrous thing. God manifest in the flesh. Now here's what they did. From then on, this is what they're going to be doing. Telling everybody they come across. They made known abroad. The light shone on them, so what'd they do? They reflected that light. They went out and they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning this child. Come see. Here's another reason you got to wonder why the Roman government couldn't find this child. I mean, everybody went everywhere. He's here. Right there. Where? Right there. See those people? Where are those two going? Going to Egypt, please. Yeah, there they are. Did you see those two? Yeah, they're heading to Egypt. Right there they are. Well, why couldn't they take them? Blinded their minds. He blinded their minds. Why can't people see the glory of God? Why can't they see themselves? Why can't they see the truth? Right there it is. Blinded their minds. Why don't they come lay hold of Christ? Blinded their minds. Why do you open your eyes? You heard him. Look at this. And they heard it. All that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. Now the shepherds are like that angel. The shepherds. Well, they got to tell. Same thing. These weren't educated fellows. These weren't, scholars. These were just shepherds. Oh, but they got a message to tell. If you want to hear it, you've got to hear it from them. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Oh, blessed is he that keepeth my word. Blessed is he that believeth and keepeth. Christ said, he it is that loveth me. Mary, got any Marys in here? Oh, I pray that you'll lay hold of Christ. I have. I believe you have, some of you, and I hope and pray that you'll be kept and you'll keep pondering these things in your heart. Mary, 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 I hope you'll ponder. When you get down, when you get depressed, remember Mary? Remember that long journey? You remember the pain? You remember the suffering? You remember the bitterness? You remember the anguish? You remember the trouble? You remember the anger? You remember all that? The suffering, the sorrow? It's completely gone. Completely gone. She's so happy. She's got a big smile on her face. She's glorifying God. She's praising God. She is wondering and pondering. Pondering her own unbelief. Pondering her own ignorance. Pondering God's mercy. Pondering God's grace to her. Pondering God's choice of her. Pondering all these things. Pondering, glorifying God, sitting there just... I hope you'll ponder these things. You won't, as soon as you leave here, talk about the weather. Ponder this stuff. And the shepherds, verse 20, they returned, went back to what they were doing, and what were they doing now? Glorifying, praising God. What for? All things they'd heard. All the way home, Brother Kelly, they were talking about it. When they got there, they talked about it some more. What? We heard. We heard His voice. We've seen. It's just like He said. Just like He said. We've heard His voice. We've seen His face. We've seen God's glory. And it's just like God told us. Just like the angels tell us. It's good news. Good news. All right. Let's sing a closing hymn. Number 287? 287.